David was telling me his was a hot day and a heavy day. So I'm sure those of you who are out are glad to have a nice cool room to be in tonight. So, okay, well, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time and accomplish His will. Father, we thank You for just who You are and how wonderful and kind You are to us. And in the midst of a broken world, your grace is sufficient. We pray that we'll learn to lean even heavier upon it and You, and that You'll just bless our time tonight, that it would please You and be profitable for us. Guide my words. May they be guided by Your Spirit and in line with Your Word. So we just ask for Your help in Christ's name. Amen. I was thinking of tonight in the group that I was in, we were praying, and there was just lots of thank yous for this, and that's the way I think it is a wonderful and the way it should be, to be thankful. Think of the things you're thankful for. I was walking downstairs this week. Sometimes I was just walking close to some shelving, and there was a picture of Mom and Dad, of my parents, when they were married. There was their wedding picture. And I just looked there and I thought, you know, just thank the Lord for my parents. And just something that, and I know sometimes people don't have that same experience, but I'm very, very thankful. But there's so many things we can be thankful for and should be thankful for. And as we conclude in our series, we just want to give thanks to the Lord for His word. Now I'm going to go through some passages tonight, and I was thinking as we read through, and I'm if you want to turn with me first, I want to go to Psalm 119, and I just pulled out some verses that relate to joyful thanksgiving to the Lord for His word. And I'm just going to read some, and obviously this is a long, long psalm, so I'm just picking out some of the ones that talk about rejoicing or delighting in or giving thanks for God's word. Psalms 119:14 is where I will start. The psalmist writes, "I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies as much as in all riches." In that, as much as in all riches, I've rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies. Same psalm, Psalms 119, verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. They are my delight. They are my counselors. Now, I think counselor assumes that the psalmist was listening to the word, not just thankful for the word, but paying attention to the word. Psalms 119:62. Now, maybe you want to do this tonight. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous ordinances. Maybe sometimes when we can't sleep at night, we should just thank the Lord. And one thing to thank Him for is for His righteous ordinances. And I rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous ordinances. Obviously, they're righteous, they're right, consistent with God's perfect character and will. Now, this is Psalms 119:127. And I'm going to read in this one from the New Living Translation. I just like the way it's put. Truly, I love Your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. Now just think about that. I love Your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. And we've talked about that a little bit, but just think, that absolutely is not the case for the majority of people in the world, right? And even as Christians, we have to admit, sometimes we really like a few more bucks than even to turn to our Bible, right? So I truly love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. Psalms 119, 140, 140 the verse. Your word is very pure. Now I know there's several translations on this, but your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Your servant loves it. I was thinking, of course, you know, I'm always giving a little story about our grandkids, and not exclusively to her, because we thank the Lord we're able to enjoy all of them. But when the littlest one starts saying, the first time she said it, I don't know, maybe half a year, maybe 4 months ago, maybe even 3 months ago, she said, just spontaneously, "I love you, Papa. I love you, Papa." And I thought, now that, I really like to hear it. And so, it's such an encouraging thing, right? But, just think, your servant loves the word, your word is pure. Your servant loves your word. And I think, obviously, I think I'm talking to the choir, I know, but to be so appreciative. 162, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Again, the psalmist compares the word to treasure. And notice great treasure. It's a treasure trove. I rejoice. Now, part of it, I just want to bring in the joyful part. I title this Joyful Thanksgiving. Joyful Thanksgiving. Just God, thank you that we have your book. It's a wonderful thing. You know, when we think of the missionaries we've had and the translations that go on, the translation exercises and challenges, you know, we've mentioned, obviously, the ones we've had here, and I know Dennis Easton, we mentioned him several times, but he's really struggled at times. You know, it seems like all the translators, and I'm sure you're aware of that, but they kind of hit a wall at certain points, and it's so hard, it's just, he had a wall, and just it's so hard to break through that, to get on, to understand the language well enough, just as Roy was sharing. Just what a challenge. But thank the Lord, people have gone before us who have taken that challenge and then we have an easily I know it's profound, but we can understand the words in our language. It's a wonderful thing we have. So the Lord has not only given it, he's allowed it to be translated. A great treasure, a treasure. Now, Psalms 164, seven times a day. I thought this was interesting. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. I don't know how he scheduled that, but seven times a day. Now, what do you do seven times a day? You don't even brush your teeth seven times a day, you know, whatever. But seven times a day, I praise you. And obviously, we're not into a legalistic schedule. But it shows the genuineness of his praise. And that it's ongoing. It's not just, oh, I got a Bible. I've got God's book. And of course, we have a lot more than the psalmist have. You think, we have the whole book. And then the last one I want to read in this section is in verse 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I like the way that's translated. I love them exceedingly. But one thing I wanted to highlight on this, and if you read through Psalm 119, it's not just that he has the book, God's book. Is that he is intentionally trying to live out God's book. And that's a big difference. You know, people, yeah, we all know, I mean, and we've done it ourselves. You know, the Bible's on your coffee table or on your bedstand, and it kind of gets, and the pressures of life and the problems of life, it kind of gets lost and forgotten. My soul keeps your testimonies. So it's not only the thing that I have your testimonies. One thing that makes the Word of God so precious to us is when we live it out and we see how it impacts our life and our journey. So joyful thanksgiving to the Lord for his Word. Now, I want to highlight several reasons why we should give thanks because we can trust this book as we conclude our time on this whole long series, I realize. Now, what I was going to do, I'm going to go through different captions of reasons we can trust the book. If we hit a caption and you especially have a verse that fits into that caption, just kind of raise your hand and maybe we can share like why you love that verse in relation to this point, okay? And as we go along, maybe it'll make a little more sense. We thank the Lord because we can trust the Bible first to lead people to Christ. Now, of course, that starts with us, right? Now, let me just read some verses. And this one, most of these verses are very well known to you. But John 20:31, I so appreciate the way John goes through his book. It, in many ways, and I've heard it said, of the Gospels, this is the Gospel that is focused on bringing people to faith for everlasting life. That is the focus, and that's what John gives as the focus. This is a summary statement. John 20:31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Have life in his name. I don't know. I mean, all of us had that moment, right? Some point in time. I'm going to read another verse, and then if anybody wants to share, there's no compulsion or no pressure. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So even though, you just think back. Now, I had the opportunity in our little church, they had revival meetings, and you'd have people come in. And most of the good thing about our little church is that they were evangelistic. And so the gospel was presented on a pretty regular basis. And one man, his name was Don Roberts. He's with the Lord now. He was one of the pastors of this little church. And he was instrumental in my life in sharing the gospel with, you know, what the Lord Jesus did for me and through his. And then also some other young men were, and I think I've shared this at one time, we had some college students, which was kind of, I look back and this is another thing to be thankful for. We had some college students that went off to a Bible school, and they really were on fire to minister to the young people that were back in our church. Now, the interesting thing is they went to a school in Texas, and we were in Kansas, so that's, you got Oklahoma in the middle. But they were intent to bring some of these kind of young evangelists, guys that were just kind of still in school, but they would come and put on like a weekend or maybe a week of messages. So their messages from God's book was instrumental in people coming to Christ. And it was just a really neat, and it was youth-inspired kind of a ministry. So I thank the Lord for that. Now, is there a verse that God especially used at some point in your life to draw you to Christ? Some verse. Okay. That's right. That's right.
Mark 5:24. Say unto you, ye that heareth my word, believe on him that hath sent me, hath everlasting.
Very good. That's wonderful, Terry. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. It's the right place to go, right? And see, God's word not only leads you to Christ, but assures us that we have Christ, right? It assures us. And I had a similar, when I battled one time, I think in my experience, you battled, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? As a younger person. And the Lord, one day, John 3:36, he believes in the Son has everlasting life. And the Lord just said, Don, do you believe in the Son? I said, yes. Like, we weren't talking verbally. But anyway, but it assured me that yes. And it was that experience, like you, I needed that assurance because I was struggling internally on that. And that's one of my favorite verses for just that reason, how God just used that. So anyway, but thank the Lord, you know, just thank the Lord for somebody who shared the book or maybe a verse. Actually, I'm not going to mention the person, but I had a little conversation with somebody today, and nobody would know him, I don't think, but I don't want to mention his name. But I gave him a little track. So you might just pray for this person, you don't know his name, that he might come to Christ, because he's getting older. But he had a really comfortable conversation. He knew I'm a preacher. So that was, it was kind of, and he was kind of inquisitive. I just enjoyed the conversation. But anyway, just pray for his salvation. But it had just a few simple verses on that little track. So anyway. Okay, I can see. The Bible can be trusted, and we've already dealt with this. I just hit on it very quickly, to equip us to work for Christ. Now, you know this verse, but I'm just going to reread it quickly. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures inspired by God. Now, we've already dealt with that, how it equips us. We spent a lot of time there. But I just want to highlight this part, that the man of God, verse 17, may be adequate. And that means, and it was sometimes used in the ancient writings, Greek outside of the Bible, of a rescue boat that was outfitted to rescue people who were in trouble, you know, on the water. We probably remember the story of the Titanic. It was not properly fitted with enough lifeboats. How many times are Christians not properly fitted for what God wants them to do in helping and ministering and caring for other people? Because the book has not, they've not allowed it to equip them. But it's adequate, and it equips us. And what I think equips us for every good work. And I want to go there for just a moment. And I know I've said this before, but I think it's important for us to remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Of course, we know that. For by grace you're saved through faith. But verse 10, and I've said this, but it just comes back to me again and again. Verse 10, for we are his workmen, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We were created in Christ Jesus when we were saved. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. So our path, and each one of our paths are unique, different, but God's designed it so that we are to fulfill our purpose. Each of us has a unique purpose. Fulfill our purpose by walking in his path. The Word of God tells us what to do, where we're at, when to do it, how to do it, and then we fulfill his purpose. We're created for that. And the wonderful thing is, you know, we all have a purpose. God has given us a path of good works, but if we're not in his Word, we're going to not know what to do when the opportunity comes. And so I just think it equips us. And that's why so many dear, dear Christians are not doing all that hot, because they're not getting equipped. They're not allowing the Word of God to equip them. God would use their situation, but they're just not ready for that. And they get bummed out, and they get discouraged. And as we know, Christians, some of them say, well, there's no God anymore. And some of them just don't go to church anymore. But the result is they're not accomplishing what God designed them to do. And they're missing out on their eternal purpose. And we don't want to do that. The Word of God, we thank the Lord, it can equip us. The other thing, another thing, is that it arms us to be warriors for Christ. You know the passage, Ephesians 6, and I read this in this one where, you know, take up the full armor of God. And then, as you know, part of that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit. That was a little, the word used for sword here, it was a shorter sword. So it would be the kind of a sword that a soldier would use for close-up combat. So, you know, you weren't just lobbing a missile at them. And so, obviously, if you think how, and I don't know anything about swordsmanship, but you want to make sure before you get into a sword fight, you know what you're doing. It's a pretty dangerous situation not knowing what you're doing. And so we need God's word to be able to defend against error and protect ourselves in that. So the sword that is so critical is God's book. Now, I think of a passage that I think is relevant to this is 1 John 2:14. And he's talking, remember in this section, in 1 John 2:14, he's talking to three groups, in my understanding, of three groups of maturity. You have children, and then you have fathers. It's interesting the way he puts it. We would put it, you know, children, and then young people, and then fathers. He changes the order a little bit, I think, for emphasis. But when he talks about young men, now we're not talking about, you know, physically young, but I think we're talking about spiritually, that third, that second level in between. You know, they're growing, the babies, young, you know, children, you're not, you know, they may start to grow, but they're not very mature yet. The fathers are those who have matured. The young men are those who are growing. And it says this in 1 John 2:14. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. They have this intimate relationship with the Lord. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now just notice what it takes to be a growing, healthy Christian. You are strong. The word of God abides in you. It's something they're taking in, they're reading it, they're absorbing it, they're trying to live it out. It abides in them. And so the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Again, this idea of protection, battling, and winning in battle. So I think that's a wonderful thing, to overcome the evil one. Think how many thoughts. I'm sure you've seen it around town. The sign that says psychic, what is it? Psychic whatever, and it's all over town, right? Fair or something. Anyway, psychic sign, and I think every time I drive past one and they're all over, I want to get out and throw it and tear it up. I haven't done that, but that's what I want to do. But that's a deception. That's a spiritual deception. We need to know the word of God. And a lot of people would drive right back and think, oh, that might be something I should go to. Right? And it sets themselves up for danger because they don't have the word of God to protect them. Okay. The word of God also can be trusted to guide us. And this one is very obvious. But this is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I'm sure most of you probably have this memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Make your paths straight. And our straight paths are God's path and God's way. And then think of this word again. You know this one. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, for those who camp this summer, and you go outside your tent, if you don't have a light, now it probably won't be a light this one, but a flashlight, you may find yourself. The other night, Marty was, she had already gone to bed. She had a terrible, terrible headache. And so I'm walking and I'm trying not to wake her up, right? It's just, I turned all the lights out, so I'm trying not to wake her up. And the closet door was open. And I just, bam, right into the thing. She said, hi, honey. Yeah, right. I just woke her right up. Well, I'm not sure she was asleep anyway. But we need light to know where we're going so we don't bash into something or tumble over something. And God's word gives us that. God's word gives us principles to make decisions. And I probably shared this, but I remember when we still lived in Dodge City with the Cowboys and the Boot Hills and all of that. And we had good friends there and everything. And then the opportunity came to go to Nova Scotia. And so we didn't know for sure what God wanted us to do, obviously, and we just prayed about it and we were very upfront about it but as we measured it, where the possibility to go, as we measured it, it really seemed to line up so much with biblical principle. And we just thought, you know, we And then when we went there to talk about whether we should go there, I just kept asking them all these questions. Because we're trying to think, is this consistent with what God's will is? And there are certain principles. You know, God doesn't usually drop, you know, a message down out of heaven, say, do this on the 13th. But he gives you principles to make choices. And I felt like that was a time where that his word just guided us. Now, the Bible can be trusted to sanctify us. Now, we know this and we talked about it. I'll just read it. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. I think one of the challenges we have as we get older is that we keep allowing God's word to sanctify us, set us apart, to become more and more like Christ. I think the hardest part of life, you know, I used to think is when you're a teenager. That's when you're a teenager. But as you start getting older and you think of some of the things that Ruth is facing right now and think of these other dear people we prayed for tonight, you know, I need to be sanctified before I get into some of this difficulty. Because some of the hardest part of life is on the end of life before we go home to be with the Lord. And so we want to keep growing so that we're set apart, we're Christ-like, and that brings us to the last point, that the Word of God can be trusted to prepare us to stand before the Lord. And I just want to share several verses on this. I'm going to go to Colossians 1:28, and I want to read this, Colossians 1:28, and then I'm going to read several other verses. But, you know, I think one of the sad things in the lies of Satan, as we look at our culture, this is all there is. You know, our lifespan here, this is it. This is all there is. You don't live, you don't think about the beyond death. You don't, you know, this sounds probably pessimistic, but on Sunday when I was driving past the soccer field, and my heart just kind of felt sad. Because here you had these young parents with their young kids during what we would consider church time, and they're out playing soccer. Now, I don't have anything against soccer. In fact, I was at a soccer game last night with my granddaughter, right? But what are their parents telling their kids? Well, you know, make the most of it. This is it. It's not it. This is a short period of time to prepare for eternity. And so let's just think about this for a moment, and then we'll be done. We proclaim, 1:28, we proclaim him, the Lord Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Present when? Ultimately, before the Lord Jesus. We may present every man. He was proclaiming Christ. How do you proclaim Christ? Well, in the same book, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And as the word dwells within us, then we have something to share, and then people grow, and they're being prepared to stand before the Lord Jesus. Now, let's just think of a few other verses, and we'll be done. Colossians 3:23. Now, this is talking, you know, in more general terms, talking, you know, to those who are slaves, but it application to all of us. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Now, we only know how to do that because the word of Christ has dwelt in us and we're learning what he would have us do. Whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Okay, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. There's a reward waiting. However, verse 25, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So when we stand before the Lord, and we're not talking about the unbeliever here, we're talking about believers, God wants to reward his kids. The only way I know what God wants me to do so he can reward me is through the word. And so I take in the word, I live out the word, I'm preparing not just to have a nice life. I'm preparing to stand before the Lord, preparing for eternity. That's what we're doing. And God will bless us, not only have reward, but responsibility that will come with reward, in my understanding of Scripture. Now let me just close, I'm going to look at two verses in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, and then I'll drop down to 28. 1 John chapter 2, 24. As for you, let that abide in you, and he's been talking about the Lord Jesus, the truth about the Lord Jesus, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. These believers had heard from the beginning, obviously of Christ coming and then of their understanding of that truth, their coming to faith. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, if the truth that they had heard abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So how do we abide, stay close, grow intimate with Christ? Through the Word. Now, verse 28. Now, little children, of the same chapter, 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him. Now, we've already established through the Word, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. That's not talking about the unbeliever. Obviously, the unbeliever is going to be in shame. But this is talking little children. These are believers. We stay tight with Christ through the Word, and we can have confidence. Confidence. That when we stand before the Lord, we stand there, we've lived out our life, we've fulfilled our purpose. Not perfectly, none of us perfectly do it. But we've grown, and we've matured, and we're ready to step into eternity. And we don't have to stand before the Lord Jesus and just trying to find a corner to hide in because we're ashamed of the way we lived life. And I think it's an important passage for us to just... But the Word of God can be trusted for all of these things, and it can be trusted to prepare us to stand before the Lord. And to me, that's the next big event for all of us. I mean, we might have some other wonderful opportunities and events, and that's great. But our next big event we better get ready for is standing for the Lord and be rewarded by him. That's what we long for. And then that will give us opportunity to even bring greater glory to him. And that's what we long. I'll just end with this, Psalm 119:72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. We can trust the Lord. We can trust his book. And we should, maybe tonight at midnight, if you wake up, just be thankful for the book, right? And what a wonderful thing the Lord has given us, his revelation of himself. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your book, your truth, and we thank you that we can trust it to the very end. And we just praise you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen.